that you would let the Lord take your life and be consecrated. I think that's what you'll find in the book of Daniel, the people of God truly letting the Lord have their life and have their way and turning them into a people that would be a bright light to shine to a lost world. If you remember in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel's people were captured. The land of Judah fell. They were moved into Babylon. They were cultivated for a couple, 3 years to stand before the king. And then finally, chosen to stand before the king. And we find in all that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself before the kings by taking the king's food. And so we recognize here's a man that loved the Lord and stood firm, and God blessed him for that. Then we find in Daniel chapter 2 that the king has a dream, and finally Daniel is called in to interpret that and speaks about the different kingdoms that would come. And then that leads us to Daniel chapter 3, that maybe the king is trying to make a statement that his kingdom will last forever. And so he's going to build this great statue and make a proclamation for all peoples to bow down before him, to honor him. So let's pick up in Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read 1 through 5 and then jump down to verse 12. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and governors and captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." Now jump down to verse 12. "There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at the time which you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your God, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and his form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, and the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us instructions, that gives us encouragement and gives us correction, helps us to live a life that honors you. We thank you, Lord, especially for the book of Daniel and how faithful people stood the test of time and how they're examples for us today. So, Lord, today we ask that you give us the courage to do the same, that we would stand firm in the big moments and in the little moments, that we would be found faithful, that others may come behind us and see your love, mercy, and grace and your greatness, Father. So, Lord, move today mightily. Help us to be found faithful. And Lord, just let us hear those things that need to be said today. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think about many times standing up for what is right and standing up firm and fast. And I heard this story about this missionary recruit going to Venezuela. Didn't know the language real well, but anyway, he wanted to go, got down to Venezuela, began to look for churches. And so they were pointed to go to this particular church, kind of a large church. Gets turned around, gets there late. And so when he gets there, it's so full, the only seat was in the very front. And so he made his way down, sat down. Really couldn't understand much what was going on there, so he decided to imitate the person next to him. So when that guy stood up, he stood up. When that guy clapped his hands, he clapped. When that guy took communion, he took communion. Everything was fine. The preacher got there and preached, and then he could kind of tell it was the time of announcements, maybe. And so everything was going good, except for one thing. He just couldn't understand. All of a sudden, this man stood up, and so he stood up, and you could just tell a holy hush fell on the whole place. He looked around and figured, well, I must not be standing at the right time, so he sat back down. After the service, the preacher called him and says, you must not speak the language here too well. He said, is it that obvious? He said, well, it's pretty obvious. He said, we were making some announcements and congratulating the birth of the boy of the Acosta family, and we asked for the proud father to please stand. Sometimes you can get in trouble not knowing what you're standing for. But sometimes you can make a great difference in the lives of many when you stand for what is right. And so we find in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had been taken from the land of Judah, brought into the land, cultivated by the king to follow and be like an ambassador to other nations. They were brought in. And in Daniel chapter 3, we find that the nation of Babylon is called together, all their leaders, to simply bow down and worship this great statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had lifted up. And we're going to find that they do not do that. They're going to stand for the truth, and it will make a big difference. Well, I'm reminded we live in a land kind of like that. We find that the enemy is always against us to kind of tear us down, always against us to kind of bring us to a point that we turn from things that are not right. And so we look at this chapter and figure out how can we stand like these faithful boys. And so I want to just to help us to understand that God's called us to be faithful. So I'm going to make two statements before I get into the outline. One, for every believer, every action is an act of worship. Let me say that again. For every believer, every action is an act of worship. Secondly, most people make decisions based not on their faith, but what they must forfeit. Let me say it again. Most people make decisions based not on their faith, but what they must forfeit. And so how can we stand firm and fast? Notice the first thing I want you to see. There's the challenges faced by the faithful. The challenges faced by the faithful. Again, there's been a pressure from the very beginning, even in the Garden of Eden, all throughout Scripture, about godly people being tempted to be simply not doing the things that are right. We find things that pull us in the wrong directions. Notice here in Daniel, we find some things that are pulling these boys maybe in the wrong directions, as well as the whole nation. One, that's the culture of the land. The culture of the land. We find in verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he was set in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. We find Babylon is a place that is very unusual. It is the cultural highlight of the day. There's intellectuals there. There's engineers there. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon there. It's one of the 7 wonders of the world. It was a tremendous place. But it was a place full of wickedness and false gods, a place of great perversion. Matter of fact, we find Babylon speaking about all through the Bible as being noted just like that. If you all go to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 17, verse 3 through 5, there's a picture of the world power that is wicked. And notice what it says. It says, so he carried me away to the spirit of the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with many gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And so we have a great thought here that Babylon was a wicked, wicked place, and it's been named that ever since. I'm reminded in one sense that we live in a place kind of like Babylon. There's wickedness and perversion everywhere, and if we're not careful, we'll let that influence us to simply follow the same. almost every aspect of our life is filled with filth and wickedness from the outside world, from driving down the road to our own homes and our TVs, our computers, our phones. It's wickedness and perversion everywhere. We must fight that good fight. John said in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He goes on to speak about that, and that's the culture of the world that is a sense of perversion. James would say it like this in James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity toward God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Speaking about this culture of the world. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We are not to conform to the culture of this present world. Why? Because we need to make a big difference. I like what Jesus said. He said, you are the light of the world. Speaking about that we're different from the world, that we're a shining brightness that other people of the world can see. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light candles and put under a candlestick, but on a or under a bushel, but put on a candlestick, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But if you back up a previous verse, he also says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall be salted, it is thenceforth good for nothing. We are reminded that we cannot be like the world. We cannot follow the culture of the world. We must stand strong. But there was another thing that was pulling in the wrong direction, not just the culture of the land, but the crowd they were involved in, the crowd they were involved in. Notice again, verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set together princes and governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the council, the sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to this dedication. And so he got all kinds of the leaders of the land of Babylon. And so I can just see those guys. They were mixed with these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, mixed in with the most influential leaders of the land. And how easy it would be to simply go along with them. I'm reminded that we need to be found faithful no matter who we're around. The crowd should not influence us. We should be the influence of the crowd. You're going to find out this about the crowd, especially in the crowd that these boys ran. They were not out to help them, but really hurt them when they had the opportunity. And I think we'll see that in our own lives today. Do the people that we hang around with truly want to help us do the Lord's will or help us to break the Lord's will? It is hard to make right choices when the people that we hang with want us to go the ways of the world. Well, there's a third thing in this passage that really speaks to us going in the wrong direction. Not just the culture and the crowd, but now there's the command to worship the image. The command to worship the image. And so you know the story that I've already read to you, that King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 had the dream about this great statue. And so in chapter 3, he changes the great statue from being different cultures or different leaders of world powers to one gold statue. It was 90 foot tall by 9 wide, kind of like maybe like a totem pole almost. But some scholars believe it was a picture of either the king himself or the god that he served. But we know this, he was calling the people to simply stand and worship that which would give allegiance to King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he gives this command to worship the image. I'm reminded that the world wants us to worship something that is worldly instead of the Lord above. And so it's good to stop in life and look at ourselves and understand that, yes, in this great condition that we're in the present location, do we truly worship the one true King? Do we follow God's will rather than a man's will? I wonder today, will we found faithful even in the world we live in? So we're going to find that there's going to be this command to do this, and we're told not to. Verse 6 says, and whoso falls down and worships, or whoso not falls down and worships shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So the king gives the command, simply fall down and worship. And the price would be to be in the fiery furnace. I keep thinking about our lives. Our price for standing up may not be a fiery furnace. Our price is usually not a tremendous thing like they faced, but it might be a job promotion. It might be your popularity. It might cost your friend. But I'm telling you, we should please the Lord. I love that old saying, and it's true. If you please God, it doesn't matter else who you displease, but if you displease God, it doesn't matter who else you please. So let me ask you, who is influencing you? Are you standing strong? Are you trying to simply do what God's commanded? Will you simply take a step of commitment this morning to say, I will trust in the Lord? So we all have challenges faced because we're faithful. But secondly, we find this, the courage displayed by the faithful. They will be asked to do something against the will of God, and they will say no. Notice first the clear choice to the crowd. Verse 7, there was at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people of the nations and these languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at this time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And so that command came forth. They refused to do that. And let me tell you, they were easy to spot. Can you see that crowd falling down when that music began to play? Except these three boys. This was the plain. It was a flat spot. And so everyone's standing, bows down, and lo and behold, these three stood tall. We find that would be a distinct difference in these three boys from the rest. They chose to be faithful to the Lord. And there will be a time coming when we will have to do the same, to stand for what God says is right. There will be a time coming when the world will bow down to something that is not right, and we must stand true. When you live right, others will notice. When you do good, people will see. But that is when the battle begins. Notice verse 12. Then certain Jews whom you have cast set over the affairs of providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And so we're going to find something that when we do something, we are separated from the crowd. We are separated from something. I'm telling you, they were bold. They would not simply bow the knee, and so should we. You know, today people call us and look at us and they think about our decisions. But I'm reminded if we go along with the world, we will not make an impact. I think about other people in the Bible that were separated from what they were. I think about Paul on the road to Damascus saying yes to the Lord, separated from his old life. I think Moses had to make a decision. He was separated from his old life. We must do the same. We must be separated from the world. But secondly, separated to something. And that is to the Lord. And we're going to find that when these men stood, that the Lord stood with them. It's just not a matter of separating ourselves from wickedness, but we must separate ourselves to righteousness. To my shame, I tell the story that when I was in business for myself, my lawn and landscape business, when the Lord called me to preach, I sold that, and I went around to every customer, and I told them, says, hey, I'm selling my business. Somebody else is taking over. I'm going to be a pastor. And I can clearly remember that this one family, this one lady, she was so surprised. She said, well, I knew you were an honest guy, but I never knew that you were, quote unquote, religious. My life did not shine brightly for the cause of Christ in such a way that they knew where I stood when it came to the Lord Jesus. They knew I was a quote unquote good guy, but they did not know why. They did not know that I stood for Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, we need to stand up and show those things. I've learned a lesson in my life. I do not ever want that to be said in my life again. I want people to know that I stand for the Lord Jesus. That crowd surely did. They knew these three guys stood certain for the Lord above. But notice the second thing, not just a clear choice to the crowd, but a certain answer to the king, The crowd tells the king these boys are rebelling. When you read 13, 14, 15, we understand that Nebuchadnezzar is not happy. Verse 13 says, Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the image which I've set up? Now, if you be ready, at what time I hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, but sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I made. Well, in other words, fine. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour to the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The king was angry. He was a despot. He had all power and authority in his land, he thought. And so he gave the command, I'm going to throw you in if you don't. Probably a conversation like this. You boys have been working with me for some time now, and I appreciate what you've done. And I want you to bow down, but if you don't bow down, I'm going to fire you. And I do mean fire. It was not a good situation. They say no. How can you say no and enter to a burning, fiery furnace? Well, there's a couple of things that we need to get from this. One, they had a foundation of right and wrong based on the Bible. Let me say that again. They had a foundation of right and wrong based on the Bible. It was not some belief of this or some belief of that. It was what the Word of God says. Matter of fact, when you read verse 16, look what they say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what that means? We don't have to consider it. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to go back and study it. We are not careful. We know what the answer is. Why? They had a foundation of right and wrong based on the Bible. They could go back to Exodus chapter 20 and speak the words that the Lord said, that you shall have no other gods before me. They could read Exodus 34:14, thou shalt not worship other gods, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. They could go through the Bible and recognize we will not worship false gods. These men had a strong background of what was right and wrong. And it all starts with this idea of who you believe in. And so ask yourself, what do you make your decisions on? What do you make your important decisions? Maybe based on culture. Maybe it's based on pleasure. Some people say, follow your heart. You better not follow your heart unless your heart is tied up in Jesus. Some based on your geography, depending on where you are is your decisions you make. Maybe it's based on the crowd. I'm telling you that right now, right is right no matter where you go in your life. It must be based on the Lord and His Word. Last week I mentioned some ideas about maybe there's some gray areas. Maybe the Word does not address like you think it does. And so I begin to think about those again. I've heard in the past about the secrecy test. Your gray areas, you're doing them, is it right or wrong? Well, the secret things you're doing, if it were to be revealed, would you be embarrassed or not? There's the universality test I said last week. Can you tell others to do the same thing that you're doing and it would be pleasing to the Lord? There's the prayer test. Can you pray over and say, Lord, bless this, my activity, what I'm doing? But there's some more tests. How about the faith test? Is the thing that you're doing build your faith, make your faith stronger, or turn you the other way? And maybe the foresight test. Recognize that where will these things lead me in my life? Will it make me closer to the Lord or further away? I'm reminded that the Bible says, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. And so they had a foundation of right and wrong based on the Bible. But secondly, there must be a firm conviction to follow that belief no matter what. I have found in my life it is easy to make the right choice to begin with. It is easy to say yes to the Lord to start with. It is easy to say, I will do God's will. But then when all these things take place, like a fiery furnace, sometimes we have a tendency to weasel in the wrong directions. Galatians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. And so we need a strong conviction to do the things we do that are right in the eyes of God. Again, for every believer, every action is an act of worship. And sooner or later, your faith will be tested. No matter your position, no matter the place you're in, no matter who you are, even Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 when he was in the wilderness. We all will be tempted sooner or later. Your faith will be tested in many areas, big and little. Simply have the commitment today, based on the firm foundation of the Word, to answer and say, yes, I will follow the Lord. So will you make a commitment to follow the Lord today? Will you stand firm and fast in a crowd for righteousness' sake? Will you put the Lord first in every choice that you make? They surely did. But look how it continues. not just the challenges faced by the faithful, not just the courage displayed by the faithful, but now the crisis encountered by the faithful. The crisis encountered by the faithful. A godly choice doesn't stop the wicked in their choices. A godly choice doesn't stop the wicked from making choices against you. King Nebuchadnezzar was furious, demands obedience. And then when that failed, look what he does. First, there's the fire that was prepared. The fire that was prepared. You might think, well, since they made this choice, maybe King Nebuchadnezzar would have a sympathetic heart, change his mind, say, boys, y'all stood up. I'm proud of you. I'm not going to do this. But oh, no. You may think, well, they made a godly choice. Therefore, God's going to send the rains to pour down and quench the fire. He did not. We know that they stood firm and the fiery furnace was prepared. Sometimes we recognize that God doesn't quench the flames. He doesn't keep us from the flames, but was with us in the flames. He does something mighty. And because of this, because of these tests, you'll see that their names are written down, and so will ours as well. So go to verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. I mean, just he went from maybe a smile a little bit to a bad frown against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it wanted to be heated. In other words, he said, really crank it up, boys, and they got the fire hot. Verse 20 says, and he commanded the most mighty men that was an army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Verse 21 says, and these men were bound in their coats, their hosens, their hats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You look at this, and you say, what's going on here? He said, heat the flame as hard as you can get it. Bind these boys up in their coats and their hosen. Bind them up so they have to burn a little bit longer before it kills them. You big strong guys, you pick them up and throw them in there. But notice what happens when they did. And I'm reminding you that God didn't keep them from the flame, but kept the flame from him. One, it slew those men that threw them in. Verse 22 says again, it slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My first thought was, those poor guys, they were just obeying the king. They had nothing against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were just following orders. But then I'm reminded, you have to pick a side. That either you're for the Lord or against him. There's no in-betweens. It would have been better for those guys that pick up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and says, hey, boys, we're going with you, and got in the fire. It would have been better for them to be on the Lord's side than the side they were. There are no in-betweens. And let me just say, you may be here today thinking, I have nothing against God. I have nothing against the church. I'm just a visitor here. I just want to see what's going on. But I'm not all for this. Let me just tell you, there are no in-betweens. Either you're for the Lord or you are against him. It is clear in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, that those that are against God are an enemy toward him. But yet God in his mercy and grace wants you to be on his side and has given us his son Christ Jesus that we may be for him. Secondly, not only did it slew those men that threw him in, but it set them free. It set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego free from the bonds that were on them. Verse 23 says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24 says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they said, and they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Verse 25 says, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. It's amazing when you think about what took place. The fire was used to set these three boys free. They were bound down, but now set free by the fire. And it's kind of a metaphor in one sense. Maybe today you have all these things that are binding you down. I'm telling you, there's one that unbinds us. That's the Lord Jesus. And if you'll just fall down bound in his life, he will unbound you. He will free you from the bondage today. I'm not sure what your bondage is. Maybe I think about the church sometimes. We have bondage. We're afraid to worship. We're afraid to go to the altar. We're afraid to share the truth. We're afraid to confess our sins. There's a sense of bondage in our life. Maybe it's a bondage of your past. Maybe your past is not what it should be. Maybe you lived a vile and wicked life. But I'm telling you, God can set you free. I heard a great story about a young man that was converted, called to be a preacher. He went off and came back to his hometown to preach the gospel. And somebody that knew him really well as a young man wrote a letter to the paper and said this. Didn't write a letter to the paper, but to him. It says, how can you stand behind the pulpit? Are you not ashamed? And listed all the sins that man knew about. He responded the next Sunday by taking the letter to the church and reading off every grievous sin that was recorded. The preacher did. And he said, I'm ashamed of my life and the things I've done. But one thing I'm not ashamed of, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the God who saved men like me. I'm not ashamed there's one who is far greater than I, and I serve him unashamedly. He was loosed by the power of Christ. And I'm telling you, my friends, he can do the same thing for you. If you've got a past, God can surely forgive that. We are unashamed. I wonder today, will we simply be found a faithful? Will we simply be loosed by the power of God? Yes, there was a fire, but God used the fire to loose them. But there's another thing. Notice this. Not just the fire that was prepared, but there was the fourth man that protected. The fourth man that protected. Again, verse 25, he said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How good that is, that in the midst of the fire, there is the Lord Jesus. I'm just going to call him that. There is one that is able to help. All through the Bible, there's promises for believers that the Lord stands with us, just like he did with those boys. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Keep on reading. The Lord is there. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Be strong of good courage. Fear not. And be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is he that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. There shall not any man stand against before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You keep on reading Isaiah 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. And then Hebrews 13 says this, let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things. For I've said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is a promise from God's word that if you'll be faithful, if you'll cling to him, he will cling to you. There'll be times that God doesn't deliver like you think. There'll be times when you will feel the flames. But just notice, it's not because he can't, but because he knows that way is best. He did not keep Jesus from the cross because he knew that was best. Not only for Jesus, but for the whole world. And so it is in our life. If God does not do what you think, he's got a plan for you. He is making things as it should be. We recognize and trust. So let me ask you before I move on to the last point. Will you be faithful no matter the consequences? Will you stand for the Lord no matter the cost? Will you trust the Lord and simply do his will? God is calling us. Even though there may be some hardship or fiery furnace, God is able to be there with us in the midst of the flame. Well, here's the last thing. It's real short. Not just the choices of the faithful and the courage and the crisis, but now the consequences of the faithful. The consequence of the faithful. First, there is a renewed respect for the servants of God. A renewed respect for the servants of God. They astonish everyone in chapter 1 because of their faithfulness to the Lord. God gave them wisdom, made them 10 times better, the Bible says, than their peers. God gave people a respect. But now, there's a renewed respect. Verse 26 says this. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Verse 27 says, and the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies had the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then verse 30 says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They go from the fire pit back to the palace. Why? Because they remain faithful. When things looked impossible, the God who can do the impossible simply showed up and made it so. My life verse is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. all things work together for good for them that love God. And so we see it those days, and now we see it in our days. God has a divine plan that is greater than we can fathom. If we'll just follow it, He will work it out for good. But there's a second thing, not just a renewed respect for the servants of God, but there's a great reverence for the God that delivers, a great reverence for the God that delivers. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Those boys, because their faithfulness was put in the fire, but the fire made an impact in such a way, no, they didn't get burned up, but people recognize there's a God like no other. It is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so I'm here to tell you today that sometimes in our life, we have tough choices to make. But when we follow the Lord, when we serve Him, yes, it may cost us something. But people will know, because God has promised He will use that in such a way to get other people's attention, that they may know that there's a God in heaven who loves them and who is able. We must recognize that God is calling us to simply stand firm and fast. What is God calling you to stand for? That others may see His great power. Because I truly believe He is. A little poem that I written some years back. It goes like this. There is a time in life when everyone must decide to walk the narrow path or the one that's big and wide. A time to make a choice to serve the one that is true. It's a choice to please the Father or a choice to please you. For there is a day coming when your faith is put to the test. A day that you will find you are faithful or sinful like the rest. It may be a fiery furnace that burns white hot glow. Or maybe just a date who thinks you move a little too slow. It may be drugs or alcohol or an unbelieving spouse. It may be books or movie or the computer in your house. But it's a choice yours to make. You must decide what path you will take, the narrow or the wide. Our life is set before the Lord. I wonder today, will we follow Him or not? Will we trust Him or not? And will we act upon that faith so that others may know that there's a God in heaven? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. Those three boys made a decision that changed the world. And I'm here to tell you today that God's called you to make a decision that will change your world. It will change your life first and foremost, but then others that come behind you. And that decision is to follow the Lord Jesus. The same one that protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same one we recognize today. A God in heaven that can deliver like no other. If you're here today and never said yes to Jesus, why not make that decision? You're either for Him or against Him. Why not say yes by simply calling upon His name? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. God is asking you to call on His name today and then simply live for Him. We can talk about baptism after that. If you've not done it, why not today? Others, you said yes. And maybe you stood before the fiery furnace and maybe backed away because of the fear of being bound or fear of loss or fear of forfeiture. Why not recommit today? Why not say, I will stand? God removes our past as far as the east from the west. He forgets those things we failed in if we'll ask for forgiveness. Let this be a day of restarting, of recommitment, of renewing, that we may serve Him with all of our heart. Not just for us, but for all those that will come behind us. God's calling today. I wonder how you will respond. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Daniel. We thank You, Lord, for what's written there. We thank You, Lord, especially for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their ordeal, how they stood firm and fast, even in the midst of a fiery furnace. How You delivered, O Lord, and how You still want us to recognize that You're the God that delivers as well. Help us to be found faithful. Help us to walk to You. Help us, Lord, to do what's right. In Jesus' name, amen.